Kenah to Zion marks a transition in the Kenos from the focus on the first base of Mikdash primarily to the Churban of the second base of Mikdash. The Kenah is based on a famous story in the from Pietin of when Titus entered the base of Mikdash, the Kodesh Kedoshim, and did certain terrible things that make your skin crawl, and they're meant to make your skin crawl. And that's the token, that's the subject of the Kenah. But aside from being frightening and horrible, and something that certainly moves you to a veilus to think such a thing could happen, I think it also serves as an, if you read between the lines, as an indictment of the Jewish people. But not just an indictment, but also perhaps a consolation in ways that can move us to right what was wrong. So the historical background of the Kenah is that the war against the Jews that the Romans perpetrated went on for a number of years. It started with Vespasian of Russia, and then when he moved back to Rome to become emperor, his son Titus took over and finished the job, and he was the one who ultimately conquered Yerushalayim, destroyed the base of Mikdash. So during the war, before Titus became in charge, so Josephus, who was a Jew, defected, and he went to the Roman side, and Josephus writes that he had a conversation with Titus prior to Titus's victory, and Josephus writes that Titus said to him that if he would wait, he wouldn't need to destroy Jerusalem, because the Jews, with all their infighting, would destroy it themselves. That's quite an indictment. Nevertheless, Titus did not wait, and he did ultimately destroy Jerusalem. And the Kenah talks about how when he got inside to the base of Mikdash, he went to the Kodesh Kedoshim, and he did something which obviously was not motivated out of taiva, but rather out of pure rishis, and to make a statement, and to sort of bring what we would call Chil Hashem in the most extreme symbolic way. He took a sacred Torah and he unrolled it onto the floor of the Kodesh Kedoshim, and he brought a zone inside there. And that thought should move us, really should makes the skin crawl and makes the hair stand on the back of your neck and to think of such a thing. But there's a kasha. The kasha is how could it happen? Previously, even a Bnei Aaron, for example, they holy Kaddish people who, with the slightest infraction in the base of Mikdash, were struck dead on the spot. How could it be that Titus of Russia could go into Kodesh HaKadoshim and do the most terrible things and nothing happens to him at all? So Chazal explained that really Titus didn't do very much. He did, as Chazal put it, he just ground up flour which had already been ground up for him. Meaning that the Jews had already gone and destroyed the base of Mikdash. The destruction the Jews did, of course, was forcing the Shekhinah out, and once the Shekhinah is out, so then the base is destroyed, all that's left to do is, you know, just take apart the physical building, which is what he did. So that's the indictment. The indictment is that the terrible Chil Hashem and nightmarish things that happen there are really because of us. Because of us. It says when Titus came in, and this is how the Kenah starts, so he took out his sword and he stabbed the paroches, the curtain, at the entrance to the Kodesh Kedoshim. And it bled. Blood came from the paroches. So you have to ask yourself, why would Hashem do a nace like that for Titus? Titus thought that he killed Kaviyachal, that he now has destroyed Hashem, and that was, so to speak. But why would Hashem let that happen? What's the toelis of such a nace? So by me it's Pashit. It has to be the same way everyone's heard the Torahs of when the Jews were successful in their war against the Yavanim, and they came back to reinaugurate the Beis HaMikdash. So the nace of the Pach Shemen was a symbolic nace, the big nace, the monster nace, of course, that was the milchama and the victory. But the symbolic nace, which we take with us, which becomes a symbol of Hanukkah, is that Hashem was there all along. That little Pach Shemen could burn for 8 days is a symbolic token to show that Hashem was there and He's with us, and He's with us. To me, it's Pashut that the same nace, so to speak, the same idea is being echoed here. That by the parochas bleeding, Kaviyachal, it's saying that Hashem bleeds with us, and He's with us in our pain, and He's perhaps feeling as much pain or more than we are, even in the korban. And just as that nace of the oil happened in the reinauguration of Bai Sheni, so this, which is the last of the nisim, but this nace in the same place in a very similar way sends the message that Hashem's pain now flows and continues as we leave the Beis HaMikdash. Later on in the Kina, there's perhaps the first makor for the idea of the Kosel. It says that the specialness of the Kosel, based on the Midrashim, says that Titus had four different officers, and they went and were to destroy the four walls of the Beis HaMikdash, and while three succeeded, the fourth wall, the Kosel Maravi, the western wall, they were not able to destroy. And therein, I think, lies this message of consolation. The same way Hashem bleeds with us, Kaviyachol, as He leaves the Beis HaMikdash destroyed. But He didn't go too far. Hashem has definitely been dislocated and displaced. Shekhinah has been displaced. And when the Shekhinah is displaced and Hashem is dislocated, the whole world is dislocated and everything runs amok. But Hashem is nearby. The message of the Kina, the message of the Shekhinah, the Western Wall not being able to be destroyed, the Kosel Maravi is that Hashem is just waiting in the wings and He's ready to come back. He's waiting to come back. It's just a question of us writing what went wrong. In an amazing turn of Hashkacha, when Titus came back from Jerusalem back to Rome, so he made a very famous monument to him and his victory over Jerusalem, which still stands there today, called the Arch of Titus. And it's remarkable to me that the Arch of Titus depicts, it says Jerusalem has been captured, but the symbolic picture there is the taking of the menorah. And it's amazing, Hashkacha, in as much as the menorah is the symbol of the Nitzchis of the Jewish people, that our light shines on and will shine on. It was a consolation for Aaron Cohen and so much more things. There's something special about the menorah because it symbolized the Jews bring the light of Hashem, light of the Torah, to the world. And it's remarkable that becomes the symbol both of the Chorban in its time and sort of the monument to it, but also kind of a wink and a nudge to us, if you will. There's a famous story of the Panovitcher Rav, who was in Rome once and asked to go, while he was there, to go to the Arch of Titus, and he got out of his taxi, he stood up and he yelled at the Arch of Titus. He said, you know, Titus, where are you now and where are we now? And Taka, where are we now? It's certainly true that the Romans are gone and no one's crying over their lost temples. They're finished. But the Jews, of course, we do persist, and we live on, Baruch Hashem, and we've rebuilt to a great degree. And I think the Panovitcher Rav was referring to a great deal of rebuilding and after the Chorban of the Holocaust. But where are we now? The truth is that inasmuch as there's much mis'avel about, and symbolically what can be worse than what's in this Kina, it remains an indictment. Everyone knows if the basement isn't rebuilt in any door, that door is also responsible. We're just as responsible as the first flour grinder, so to speak, who left the Beis HaMikdash vulnerable by kicking out the Shekhinah. As much as it's not rebuilt, that means that we haven't built it back. We haven't brought the Shekhinah back. But as I said, I think the kinas between the lines message is that Hashem is just waiting in the wings. He's standing there nearby, bleeding with us, so to speak, and asking Eicha, Taka, where are we? They're gone, but where are we? And if we'd be moved enough by our Avelis today, and the Chil Hashem that has been created by the Jews being where they are and everything that's happened all these years, if we're moved to do something, and as the Rav said in the introduction today, every person has to say, Bishvili Nivra Olam. Every person has to feel as if you were the Adam Yechid that was created to take responsibility for the world. And if we would just get over our pettiness and grow up and take responsibility and Taka fulfill that message and that mission of the letting that light shine, that the menorahs stand there waiting for us to do and embrace our fellow Jew and repair that damage and stop what's happening today, which is happening just so much as it was in the time of Titus, that it looks like if you leave us to our own devices, we'll rip ourselves apart after enough time. But if you overcome that, God forbid, and each one of us individually take responsibility to repair that which has been broken, then Be'ez Hashem, the Chil will come to an end and the Nachamu will come.